this lonely road, trying to make it home, doing it by my lonesome, pissed off, who wants some? I'm fighting for my soul, God, get at your boy, you try to vote, God, fall back, I go hard, on this lonely road, trying to make it home, doing it by my lonesome, pissed off, who wants some?
Welcome to the Justified Podcast, the officially unofficial podcast for Justified on FX. I'm Jim.
And I'm Aaron.
And this week we're covering Season 3, Episode 6, entitled When the Guns Come Out. Do you have any news this week? We could promote our interview.
I'm crest on a high. We got our own news this week,
yeah,
bitch.
We're making news.
We interviewed kind of a lengthy interview with Taylor Elmore.
Yep, I thanked him up and down on that podcast. I'm not going to do it again.
Co-producer, writer of Justified. He had a lot of insights about the behind-the-scenes stuff that goes down on the show, some plot points for later on in Season 3, the writing process. I was great.
Gave us the actual name of Limehouse's henchman. So we don't have to call him Limehouse's henchman anymore.
Breaking news. His name's Errol.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. All right, well, let's get into the recap. The first scene is Trixie and her friend going to Doc Stern's clinic to pick up some oxy. Then Tanner shows up, kills everybody except for, what's her name?
Ellie May.
And steals the pills back. I don't know about you, but I felt like when this truck driver asked for a little something extra for his effort, I don't feel like he got it. I feel like maybe on HBO he would have gotten it,
yeah.
But here he did not.
The girls obviously are not following the rules laid down in the good book.
Yeah. Is this the one in Dogma that you're talking about?
No, I think it's... is it Dogma or Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back?
I couldn't tell you. I just know it's George Carlin.
They don't follow the rules of the road. Although, we might not have got boobies, but we got a fairly graphic blowjob on FX. I was impressed that they were able to get away with that.
Yep. So then Raylan calls Winona's sister, Gail, to find out where she is.
Well, we got to say...
Oh, okay.
First reaction was, this is Quarles making his move, right? It's Quarles' right-hand man.
Yeah, giving payback for him stealing... For him beating up Tanner and stealing the pills.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was. So then Raylan calls Winona's sister, like I said. Her name's Gail. To find out where she is and then go through Winona's computer. Mm-hmm. The judge then comes in, the pantsless judge. I don't remember his name. But he warns Raylan not
Milton.
To go...
Judge Milton.
Milton, yeah. He warns Raylan not to go poking around in case he finds something he wishes he hadn't. I don't know. So apparently this was Winona's old computer. Is that right?
I guess.
And when she left, they hired somebody new?
Yeah, must have.
So it's like everybody... Since she's had weeks to see it coming... Like, she's prepared. She's quit her job, I suppose, given 2 weeks' notice.
Right.
Everything. So they've had time to hire somebody else.
It seems like everyone knows that Winona's left Raylan except for Raylan at this point.
Yeah.
Like, as this episode progresses, you will find just about everybody.
Sure.
By the way, that judge is Mike Reardon, played by Stephen Root.
Yeah, Stephen Root, that's the name. So then Raylan goes to visit the evidence room that Charlie guards, and he finds the money that was there from the bank robbery before is missing again.
Yep. What the
Man,
hell?
Again, that money just doesn't stay in one place.
I feel like this episode set us up for one long rope-a-dope.
Yeah,
because
definitely.
At this point we're thinking, God damn it, Winona, have you lost your fucking mind again?
I feel like there are multiple layers in this episode that I'm not sure they all play out within this episode. I don't know that we've seen the resolution to Errol's plan.
Oh, no.
I don't know that we've seen the... I don't know that we saw the beginning of it in this episode. I'm not sure.
I'm of the yat opinion.
Okay.
I'm of yat opinion.
Yat opinion?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So then...
Now let's talk about this one other thing.
What other thing?
I was making a meow joke. Like, I'm just gonna subtly change words and mind fuck you.
Not funny. Messing with the
but
podcast
at this point,
host.
I was, like, totally pissed off on Winona. I'm like, God damn it, I just talked about how great this show is at having good female characters, and they're fucking it up.
And then you go and do something like
That's
this.
That's right.
Well, then Tim comes over to Raylan's desk. He's back in the office, and he drops off a dossier on Quarles, which is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
He's had him looking into that guy. But then Art calls him into the office to ask him about the shootout that happened at his aunt's place. And Raylan asks for some time off.
It's all he wants is some time off to deal with this stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, he doesn't get it. Mm-hmm. Art thinks that it's about him shooting Layla, and he's like, no. Winona left me. And then he doesn't want to go until he finds out that the shooting took place at his aunt's house.
That perked up his ears.
Definitely. So then at the bar where at Boyd's bar, I guess. What is the name of that bar? Does it have a name?
It's like Johnny's, isn't it?
Is it just Johnny's?
That's what I'm calling it.
The whorehouse is Audra's. So, right. I mean,
across the town, you got Johnny's.
Sure, why not? But Boyd and Ava and Johnny are talking about the pill robbery. And Boyd sends Johnny out to get some information on what happened. So apparently Johnny here says that he hasn't talked to Arlo. And I don't know that anyone knows where Arlo is. And Arlo's acting weird this episode.
Yes, he is.
We'll get to that later, but I'm wondering what is up with Arlo.
Mm-hmm.
And what kind of role he had in this whole thing, you know?
Yeah. And also, did you notice Johnny did not like to be basically Boyd's errand boy?
I didn't pick up on that, but
really, when he said, "Now I want you to go back to the house and don't call me until you fill in the blanks," I thought again. I see Johnny kind of chafing under Boyd's leadership.
Sure, as he probably should. I mean, with all the history between.
Where do you think this is going? You know, in light of last episode, where he could have fucked over Boyd and he just chose not to.
Maybe the pot wasn't big enough. I mean, why does he want to follow Devil? You know.
Mm. True.
Maybe it just wasn't enough of a low.
Maybe he's
waiting
to make the connection with Quarles himself.
Possibly.
He's like, okay, that's a good deal, but I don't want you having the big cut and me the little cut. So
yeah, this could get dirty.
Yeah.
Dirty.
Hmm, interesting.
So then Trixie's friend explains the shooting to, what is this guy's name? Delroy?
Delroy. Yep.
Yeah, the guy from Lost. This guy's actually, he played...
One of the others, right?
Ethan, yeah. In Lost, that was pretty cool.
One
of
the first season others, wasn't it?
I want to say that was second season.
Okay,
they found the tail people.
Oh,
people from the tail end of the plane.
I thought he was one of the guys that like pretended to be part of the nose cone wreck.
Yeah, he was, but I don't know when he shows up.
This would be an awesome thing to discuss on our Lost podcast, but right now,
all
right.
I think he was part of the people who pretended to be.
In the tail.
Oh,
okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Which is why it's season two. Anyway, he sends her out to another clinic to go get more pills. And this guy to me is like the anti-Limehouse, right? He's got this gang of women around him who Limehouse normally helps. Mm-hmm. This guy beats and exploits.
Right.
Horrible dude.
Oh, yeah.
Moving on, Raylan arrives at his aunt's house where Johnny's outside spying. He talks to Arlo. Or I'm sorry, not Arlo. He talks to what's the name of the guy who's there on the scene? I can't remember.
The officer?
I think so.
Yeah, I can never remember that guy's name. He's like the county sheriff or the state trooper.
Is it Tom? Is Tom the guy he talks to here? I don't know. Anyway, he looks really distraught in this scene. Mm-hmm. You can tell that. Winona leaving him is having a big effect on him.
All right. And yet again, we find another person who knew that Winona had already left him before.
Yeah.
And so...
Connecting the dots.
Yeah.
But combined with his lack of sleep, I feel like there is shit piling up on top of this guy.
Oh, yeah.
That he might not be able to fully deal with.
Right. And you can...
Especially with Boyd in the mix, playing him like a fiddle... I don't know. It's going to get rough.
Well, the other thing is you can see in this episode how he is twisted so tight.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's about ready to blow. I mean, this whole, you know, when we get to the, we'll wait till we get to the Delroy part.
Okay. So then Trixie's friend goes to the other clinic to try to score some pills, but Tanner is the one running that.
Mm-hmm.
So she freaks out and runs away. And
understandably.
Tanner's a little suspicious, I think.
Oh, did
he looks
you?
At her like, what the hell's going on here?
I don't know.
Maybe it was just a general what the hell.
Right. I think it's like a what the fuck, but hey, it's a tweaker. You know?
Gotcha. Yeah, she's on Oxy, obviously.
Tucker!
So then Boyd and Ava show up at Limehouse's, I want to say restaurant?
But let's just talk about how sketchy these fucking pain clinics are. I would like to know... From our embedded reporter, Ted, because he said that I guess this was more or less a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
Were they really this big of a joke?
Where you've got, like, attics lined up outside.
Yeah, you've got, like, a mini barn on a flatbed trailer and some shitty residential house.
Uh-huh.
It's like, doctor owned and operated pain clinic.
I don't know. Maybe Ted can chime in with that.
I would love to know. Yeah. And it, you know, like, what? It's a controlled substance. Is it really? It looks like they're just handing this shit out like it's candy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, I would love to know a little bit more about how ridiculous this operation is.
Definitely. So out at Limehouse's place, he's making a big show about how much the hauler knows about Harlan and specifically about Boyd, which to me is a very interesting part of this scene.
Mm-hmm.
They then decide that Ava will go talk to Ellie Mae. Well, so let's talk a little bit more about this scene because I got a lot to say.
All right. Well, why do you think it's weird that they know so much about Boyd?
I don't know that it's weird that they know about him. What I'm wondering is, is this a little bit of a threat towards Boyd? Because he spouts off a lot of information about Boyd, and that's just some guy.
And then
that's
he wraps Limehouse. It up with, in light of his past events, don't know if I would be coming around these parts if I were him. So it wasn't a implied threat. It was a naked threat.
Well, that part of it was, yeah. It was reinforced by the fact that, hey, we know a lot about you.
Right. Also, you know, I think that's in general, the black folks of Noble Hall are pretty much largely ignored, or no one would take the time to get to know them.
Except within Harlan County,
but they make it a business to know everybody else because it's such a hostile environment.
Yeah, it's a very interesting element in play there. Of course, we see Limehouse in his standard uniform, his apron. Mm-hmm. Always cooking, that man. That man is always cooking. The other interesting thing I noticed in this scene, Boyd suggests that he might be in the future banking money with Limehouse. And I'm wondering if that isn't Boyd's way to kind of get an inroad to start developing a new relationship with Limehouse so that when he needs him, he'll be there.
Well, it's interesting because I got turned on to this postmortem that Entertainment Weekly does with Graham Yost
every week?
Every day after the thing, they do a little interview with him.
Oh, wow. Cool.
And they
so our podcast is irrelevant. Done.
Well, you got to read it, so you got to know how to read. I mean,
old-fashioned.
That's a drawback. But he does have a lot of insights into a surprising amount of insights about, like, well, here's where we did this and here's where we did that. But one thing he mentioned was that Boyd did this in hopes to buy into what Yost called the Limehouse Intelligence Service.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like if you're a banker with him, then he provides you a little bit of the information as part of the service he throws in.
That makes sense.
So Boyd wants to take advantage of that. Boyd wants to find out as much as possible about, you know, because Raylan just goes up to Tim and says, pull me a dossier.
Yeah.
Boyd can't do that.
Sure. He could always...
as much as he'd love to use the law to do his dirty work.
Yeah, definitely. So then Raylan shows up at Arlo's house to try to get some information out of him. And Arlo surprisingly just gives up the information. I didn't think he would. But Raylan, like you said earlier, is just not having any of it this episode.
Right.
Like, not from Arlo, not from Boyd, not from Delroy. Nobody.
Mm-mm.
What do you think about Arlo in this scene? Because he seems out of it. I mean, when he walks...
Well, you're walking in on him, and he's calling his dead wife.
Mm-hmm.
And...
Saying he's going to take a strap to her.
Also, it seems like he didn't... He referred to Boyd as the Crowder boy.
Uh-huh.
And he just gave him up to Raylan like he doesn't...
Yeah.
Now, what's interesting is this, number one, is a callback to season one when his Aunt Helen was telling him, look, I'm really worried about your father. He's supposed to be taking this. He's been diagnosed as a bipolar. He's got some dementia. He's supposed to be taking the medicine, but I'm the only one that can, you know, make him take his medicine. Well, she's gone now.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but you got to think that Arlo's not above playing this up to his own ends, too.
You can't. That's true.
You can't really tell. Like, and I think that's what was interesting with Raylan. He's like started to kind of fall for it, but then he said something. His dad's like, "All right, I don't got time for this bullshit." You know, when he's like, "Well, you're just gonna run to Helen, the dead woman." He's like, "Whatever. I don't got time for this bullshit."
Yeah.
So that's my read on it. What do you think?
Yeah, I can get behind that. I mean, they've been building this for a while, like you said, since season one.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like in this episode, Johnny not having talked to Arlo and them not really knowing where Arlo's at is kind of a tell as to Arlo's mental state. Arlo's not on board with this. He's just kind of out doing his own thing now.
So you think Arlo... Because when I first saw this episode, I got the feeling somehow that Arlo... This was all a plot from Boyd. Mm-hmm. This all the whole thing. Like, almost some crazy Usual Suspects Kaiser Sose shit that Boyd was throwing to get Raylan on to Quarles and play on a sympathy to women. But then, you know, when I started realizing, well, maybe Arlo is just losing his marbles.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a complete accident, especially when you find out that Boyd thinks Quarles did it. Quarles thinks Boyd did it with Raylan. It's like nobody knows the truth by the end of this episode about anything.
Yeah, that, not even the audience. Because, no. I mean, at this point, it could be Errol's doing. It could be Arlo's doing.
Well, for
like,
sure.
With the shooting.
Errol didn't deny it.
Uh-huh.
Did Arlo contribute towards it?
That's what I'm wondering.
Yeah.
And because no one's seen him in a while.
Did he do it because he was in his right mind or just because he let something slip?
Yeah, all very good questions. So then Ellie Mae reports back to Delroy and gets a beating.
Mm-hmm.
Not cool. Not cool, Delroy.
No.
She tells him that Tanner
and
was
at this
the guy
point,
at the clinic.
I'm like, you're going to tangle with Raylan before
too
you, many
you need
more
to visit
episodes.
With Raylan.
Yeah, before too many more episodes.
set you straight.
Mm-hmm.
Not much more in that scene. He sends her back out, I guess, to go find pills again.
Well,
no,
I think he beat her so bad
her
that,
in the
yeah, and one of the trailers.
Yep. So then at the fake clinic in Frankfurt, Quarles tells Duffy that Raylan's becoming a problem. And he knows that someone, and we know that this is Tim, created the dossier for Raylan and is looking into Quarles. He then sends Duffy out to get some more information, but before he can do that, he comes back into the house to the sounds of Quarles beating the man bound to the bed. Creepy.
Yeah, and I keep wondering if all these weird ass, like, shout name ins and sexually and physically abusing people tied to beds is going to play. And we actually posed that to Taylor tonight. And he actually kind of indicated that, yeah, we're going to find out more about this guy and what makes him tick, and it's going to be significant. Hold on to your fucking butts, people.
Yeah. It's interesting how little we know about Quarles.
And what we
what
do know...
What do we really know about Quarles, factually? Nothing.
He's from Detroit.
No. He told a guy he was
I
from
guess
Detroit.
That's true.
We don't know anything about... Maybe... I'm wondering if this isn't some other organization trying to infiltrate Harlan County.
I don't know.
Because Quarles seems like he is on a power trip. I mean, when Duffy calls him boss in this episode...
He about pops wood.
Yeah. He's really thrilled with that. I don't know that he has ever felt what it's like to be the boss of something like that. And if he were that high up in the Dixie Mafia... I don't know.
I kind of... on multiple viewings, I got this very freaked out feeling that the guy in the bed was the previous operations win, Duffy.
Okay.
That he ended up getting on the wrong side of Quarles... And then when he came down, he brought him with him as his, you know, toy and got a new one. But, like, you see, like, he was really putting Wynn over. You know, it's like, you're a stand-up guy. And then a couple scenes later, he got all sinister with him. Because when he, you know, Wynn didn't think much of his idea of Raylan being a bent, you know, crooked.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah. And the guy's like, yeah, what? And just got him this menacing... stare and Wynn's like, oh, I'm in trouble, so I'm gonna cover it. So I just
he
wonder,
doesn't really want Duffy thinking.
Yeah,
he wants Duffy doing he says.
What do you think of that theory?
Condense the theory into like a sentence.
I think the guy strapped to the bed was Quarles' previous Wynn Duffy, his previous lieutenant.
That's entirely possible. Entirely possible. I mean, do they run the operation in Frankfurt, or had they before? Quarles showed up in town.
Well, we don't.
Town.
Again, we don't. I don't think so because he.
Because I
he replaced
the
Frankfurt connection.
That's what I was going to say.
He decapitated him.
Yeah. So I thought he was the Wynn Duffy of that organization.
Who?
The guy he shot in the head.
No, Wynn worked for him, for God's sakes.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I thought the guy that Wynn worked for was the Wynn now.
Oh, well, I'm saying before Quarles came into this city, he had some probably other operation. And he had a right-hand man that wasn't this Frankfurt guy.
So you think he brought him with him?
Yeah.
And then turned on him?
Ooh. Yeah, I do.
Maybe. Quarles is pretty crazy.
That's what I'm saying. I
think he's a lunatic.
It's weird that there's just some kind of connection between him, Wynn calling him boss, and then he's kind of like happy about it, but then his jaw slowly sets and he goes in and starts brutalizing this dude.
Yeah. Yeah, that's messed up. I don't know what to make of that, honestly.
Yeah, I don't know. That's just a thought I had, especially when I saw the way he treated Wynn later on in the episode for just a minor disagreement.
Yeah, yeah. So what's he going to do to Boyd? The other question I have about this dossier is, how does Quarles know about it? Does he have a mole in the organization, in the marshal's office?
He must.
He's got to. Who could it be?
I don't know. But remember in The Wire season 2 where the Greek had somebody high up in the intelligence organization?
Mm-hmm.
Or in the DEA,
yeah.
That anytime his name was mentioned, he would just give him a call and tell him.
Yeah.
I wonder if Quarles is that powerful and that influential. Because...
Yeah, he might be.
He almost thought... There's a couple ways you can take this conversation that he had later on in the Wynn where he's informed that he thinks Raylan is working for Boyd. He's like, oh, that's cute. He's got a marshal.
Yeah.
Like
a pet
for Quarles, that's like what you know. He was amused. He's not threatened or scared. Oh my God, he's got a marshal's back pocket. That implies to me that he has that or more.
Yeah, yeah, and he seemed pretty happy about smoking out the crooked marshal, like he says.
Right.
So I wonder if he's thinking about trying to turn Raylan eventually to his side, like he's done before, maybe.
Hmm.
Anyway, let's move on. Ava then goes to Audra's, which is Delroy's whorehouse. Try to find Ellie Mae, and Ava's spotted by JJ, who tells her that Ellie Mae saw the whole thing and is in the trailer out back. Ava can't get in there without Delroy seeing, though, so she calls Boyd.
Also, she had that kind of creepy ass scene with Delroy himself, and he was trying to basically recruit her to be one of his girls.
Mm-hmm.
And she smokes him. I mean, Ava's is not a dummy.
Yeah.
She sees scuffs on his hands and noses what his business is, and I think susses him out pretty quick.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. And I liked how she approached this. She just kind of dropped Ellie Mae's name to, I guess, try to see what his reaction was.
And had a cover. It's like, I did a favor for her, you know, colored her hair or whatever, and I just was looking for that money.
Yeah, pretty smooth. She's been taking some lessons from Boyd, I think.
Well, I don't think she needed many lessons.
That's true, yeah.
She's always pretty savvy.
Well, I don't know. She was pretty good with a shotgun, I guess. But yeah, you're right.
She's alive, and it ain't for lack of people killing her. So there's that to say.
So then Raylan shows up at Boyd's bar while he's talking to Ava. Tells him not to mix him up in his business anymore. And Raylan here is no longer amused by Boyd's antics, but Boyd doesn't seem to mind.
No.
Boyd doesn't care. He tells Raylan to go see Ava.
In fact, his whole manner is, oh, Raylan, you got this all wrong, but I'm going to be patient with you.
Uh-huh.
I mean, Boyd is one of the very few characters that is not intimidated at all.
Yeah.
And kind of interesting, is this the first time where, no, I guess all the big bads in Justified history haven't really been afraid. And Bo Crowder wasn't afraid of him. Mags wasn't afraid. I think she liked him, and he kind of liked her, but I don't.
He wasn't as big of a player then, you know?
Right.
He's kind of trying to move up the ranks now, so.
But now, for sure, Boyd's not afraid of him. Quarles not afraid of him. Linehouse isn't afraid of him. He's got his work cut out this season.
Definitely. I do think it's interesting here that Raylan knows he's being used by Boyd, but there's really nothing he can do about
it. I know.
He's got to go investigate this shooting.
Right. Especially since it involves, you know, maybe something with his family name.
Yeah.
You know, and appeals to his... I still think he cares about Ava.
Yeah, I would say so.
So
but it's a master move by Boyd.
But the delivery that Timothy Oliphant had here, the whole moved on from swastikas and rocket launchers on the pills.
Yeah, always the interaction between these two guys is fantastic.
Right. And I do like his, you know, every once in a while you get reminded that he's a marshal. He doesn't really give a shit about their drug wars, as
That's
he calls
true.
It the shit kicker on shit kicker crime.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason he's there at all is because it happened on his aunt's property.
Yeah.
And he's pissed off that his name's getting drug into it.
Yep. So then Raylan goes to meet Ava at Audrey's. She introduces him to Ellie Mae. Delroy notices them in the trailer and tries to threaten Raylan, who isn't having any of it.
Not one bit.
They question Ellie Mae and head out, but not before beating the shit out of Delroy.
Yeah.
This scene is so good.
Delroy did not get the memo that today Raylan was not suffering fools gladly.
Not at all.
And I love the whole, you know, he was like, what if I, and he brought out his knife. Right. He's like, oh, shit, I forgot mine and showed his gun and badge. And then,
yeah.
How stupid is Delroy? He's like, I'll be back in 3 minutes. And
just an idiot.
Raylan's like, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. I don't know.
Have you heard that song, It's a Great Day for Me to Whoop Somebody's Ass?
Mm-mm.
I think that's the theme song that was playing for Raylan this day.
Oh, yeah. And he did. Kicked the shit out of him pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
Broke his nose. So then Raylan goes out to Tanner's mobile clinic to find out about the shooting. The clinic literally goes mobile. Raylan shoots the driver and throws Tanner out of the trailer. But when it comes to a stop, Taylor's nowhere to be found. Or, I'm sorry, Tanner's nowhere to be found.
Right.
What'd you think about the shooting here of the driver? I thought it was pretty neat.
Yeah, the fact that, again, another little tidbit I found out from reading the interview with Yost was that they originally intended this for Raylan to intentionally shoot him.
Oh.
But they are, I guess, really trying to keep the number of people that he shoots down.
Art does complain about it.
Yeah, because he's like, you get a dozen bodies in a season, and like even in a fiction show, you'd think that the marshals would be chaining him through the desk.
Sure.
So they made it an accidental shooting.
Yeah.
But I thought it was great, and also between this scene and last, Raylan's just our theory about him and Winona. Mm-hmm. He's just plain nastier when she's not around.
Oh yeah.
Single Raylan is a nasty. Brutalizing criminal Raylan.
Definitely. Another little factoid that people who watch TV a lot and movies don't get is that, yeah, bullets go through shit.
Oh, yeah.
Like, steel, bricks, doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Bullets will go through it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad they had that happen here. Then the state trooper, Tom, arrives out at that crime scene and clues Raylan into the fact that they've had to track down Winona before, which he didn't know, and she was found outside Louisville. So I guess that leads him later to his sister, or to Winona's sister.
Mm-hmm.
When Duffy reports back to Quarles to tell him that Boyd's Oxy Clinic was hit this morning and that Raylan shut down their trailer as well, Quarles thinks it's a ploy by Boyd, which it kind of is. Kind of is.
Mm-hmm.
But there might be more to it. There probably is more to it, as we find out.
Yeah, so it's like at this point, all the principal bads have the wrong idea. Although, I gotta say, Boyd seems a lot more cautious about jumping to conclusions. He's actually conducting an investigation, checking things out. Quarles is just like, oh, I know what's going on. Whoa.
Yeah, could be his downfall.
Could be.
Pride before the fall.
By the way, the previous scene, they kept on referring to putting out a bolo.
Yeah. I don't know what that is.
Looked it up. It's a law enforcement term. I'm having trouble with the mouth today. Be on the lookout.
Okay. So if you put a bolo, it's an acronym.
Yeah, put a bolo for someone, that means it's just a general be looking for this person or this make of car, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay. So then Limehouse questions Errol about why he set this war in motion, basically.
And he's taking out some anger on that pig.
Yeah.
You gotta think one of these days that's not gonna be a pig.
Yeah. That room, nothing good ever goes down in that butcher room.
Mm-mm.
Nothing.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, you got hands in lie.
Yeah.
You got slaughterings. Yeah, not good. But then he tells him to make a right with Trixie's family because she's dead, and to kill or silence anyone who knew about it.
What did you think about Limehouse's take on their role in the culture? Like, he wasn't much for this guy, like, we want to be running this shit. And he's like, oh, you want to be all gangster?
I think Limehouse is smarter than that. I think his idea is that they're better served by playing it a little closer to the vest and a little more slowly.
Like, right.
Don't don't make things happen. Just take advantage of advantages of opportunities when they're there.
Yeah, we get to be up here and mind our own business, and nobody gives us any shit. If we go around and start this war, mm-hmm. you know, what are you going to do when the police come?
Yeah,
and
he said it's going to bring it to our doorstep.
Right, and they're of the opinion that everybody, the civilians even hate him. So they'll be, if they start causing violence and trouble, it'd be a huge, huge problem for that community.
Oh, yeah.
How do you think it's going to play out?
Honestly, I don't know what Errol's role in this whole thing is, so I have no idea.
See, I think Limehouse, if Errol can silence, and we don't know enough information, but if he can silence whoever he used to make the hit, which is obviously Tanner, mm-hmm. Then Limehouse, how is he, if he pulls that off, wouldn't they just be out at that point? Why would he, what's his next move? Because he sounds like there's mm-hmm. going to be an offensive now.
I'm wondering if Raylan doesn't get to Tanner first. Because Raylan's hot on his
trail. But do you understand what I'm saying? If I
do, yeah.
This guy silenced him like Limehouse said, then they would actually be able to just lay low and and stay out of it. They started a war, but they didn't have to.
I don't think that the story's going to let them do that. I think Limehouse is in the process of being dragged into a war he doesn't want to be in.
Right.
And that's certainly interesting drama.
I just wonder how he's going to fight it and how that is in line with his goal to keep this, his original involvement in it, silent. If he's going to get in it, then get in it. If he's going to try to silence people, then
I think he's going to try. He's going to send Errol out to try, and he's going to fail to silence it.
Mm.
And then shit's going to start hitting the fan for Limehouse.
Or I guess maybe he would silence it so that the Quarles and Boyd go at each other and weaken them both, and then he goes and finishes them off. Maybe that's his plan.
Maybe.
That would explain
I don't know. If Errol's in a tough situation. I think if he finishes off whoever knew about this, mm-hmm. so presumably Tanner, Limehouse might just kill him, too. Because he's the only other guy who knows.
Right.
If he's tying off loose ends, he's a loose end.
I mean, what do you tell a guy who's got a lie burnt hand? You've already told him once.
Good point. He does have two hands, though.
Oh, I guess, yeah.
So a really good scene there. And then Raylan follows the trail, I guess, to Winona's sister's house to go speak with her. He accuses her of taking the money, but she says she didn't. And he believes her, and I believe her, and everyone believes her now.
Yeah.
He then asks Winona why she left, and she tells him that it's because he doesn't really want to change.
Mm-hmm. This is a classic test. She basically...
Yeah.
I'm going to stop mentioning it and just go along and be neutral and see if you follow through.
Mm-hmm.
Because as she said, when you want to do something, you move heaven and earth and put yourself out and get it done. Obviously, like the poker night. Obviously, if you want to make me happy, you would have put forth effort to do that. We'd already be in Glencoe. But since we've had that discussion, you've killed this guy and that guy and this guy in front of me.
Three guys in one hotel room.
And then you almost got taken out. So... Mm-hmm. And let's talk about this. So there's a lot of people like Winona on the internet, and I find it hard to hate on her for doing this.
Yeah, I understand why she's doing what she's doing.
Obviously, I don't want Raylan to stop doing what he's doing, but if you're Raylan's woman, that I don't even know how you would put up with it. Because he's not just like regular old policeman, maybe he won't come home tonight. He's
I had to get some speeding tickets tonight.
Yeah, or I was nervous when I walked up to this one dude's missing taillight car. And I'm not making light of law enforcement because it's a dangerous, scary job. Mm-hmm. Raylan's that to, infinity.
Yeah.
And beyond.
Yeah, definitely. I sympathize with Winona.
He almost died at the end of last season. Hell, he almost died in last episode. So it's just crazy how much danger he's in all the time.
Definitely.
This whole county wants him dead, and he's going to try to kill everyone in the county. So something's got to give.
Winona's getting out of the county.
Yes. Smart.
So she doesn't get killed.
Smart on her.
So Raylan and Art share a drink in his office and talk about Winona and the stolen money. He says that they found another bill in El Paso, and Charlie's missing.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
And I also got to say, Art's office is so fucking cool when it's lit like that.
Yeah, the low lights.
I'd love to have a study like that with some whiskey, some scotch, some bourbon.
Not good reading light, though.
It's good drinking light.
It is very good.
Damn
drinking
good
light.
Drinking light.
He just needed a cigar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably no smoking in government buildings.
Yeah, probably. Those bastards. So then Freebird Charlie is stopped by the police at the gas station.
Which is pretty... A very epic end to this mostly silly plot line.
Yeah.
Like, the
yeah.
whole thing with the cash was, I want to go ahead and say, the worst part of last season.
Mm-hmm.
Not that it was horrible, but it certainly was, with everything else, a two-episode distraction before we got to the good stuff. And yeah. this is as good a way to go out on that plot line as you can, right?
Definitely. I mean, as I feel kind of bad for Charlie at his old job, you know? It was a shitty job. He sat in a basement all day. Nobody ever came down there. He was just by himself collating papers. I don't know what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
So for him to go to Costa Rica on $250,000, that's cool.
Oh,
I'm glad he made it out.
I don't think he went to Costa Rica. He wasn't browsing that on his girlfriend. Or
maybe. No. See, I took it as he was up using a different computer, so nobody would know it's him.
Well, Costa Rica is an island, right?
Mm-hmm.
So why would you go to Mexico to get there? Well, I guess
so
you have
can't
to,
get caught yeah, and then yeah, fly yeah. out. Maybe.
I don't know if I buy that, but let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. When do you think he got that money? Because I have a feeling.
You're going to say it's the day after.
I think it's the day. It's the day that Raylan went to. Oh, no, wait.
Hmm?
He went to go check on that money and it was already gone. And then, yeah. so then, I okay.
It's the day after he put it back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
For
yeah.
sure.
And he's been kind of, but he was just going to sit there and wait maybe for his pension to come? Or why was he waiting to leave until he got caught? It seems like.
Yeah, it seems like a bad plan. He must have taken it that day.
Yeah, I agree. And then when he went out and found it, he's like, well, fuck, I'm out of here.
Yep.
But if that's a plan, just like the dentist from season one, if you got this pile of cash that you could go and live in Costa Rica or Mexico or Belize, why isn't that plan A? Why is plan A your bullshit normal life where you sit at a desk or drill on, you know, some underprivileged teeth, whatever? Why isn't plan A going to Costa Rica or going to Mexico or going to Belize and living on the beach with your hot car and your hot girlfriend or whatever?
I don't know.
Because if I had a plan B with like $250,000 and I could take my hot girlfriend to a tropical island, you would not be hearing me on this podcast. I wouldn't be like, well, I'm going to do this podcast thing, do this IT stuff until I get in trouble with the law. Then I'll move on to plan B. Plan B!
Which is retiring in a mansion on the beach. Awesome. Good plan. All right. Well, that's the end of the episode.
I want to go back to Winona a little bit.
Okay.
Where do you think they are now?
They're in a holding pattern until that kid is born, in my opinion.
Here's the only thing I don't like about this development.
Mm-hmm.
It's all the bullshit possible melodrama of Rayland with a wife and kid.
Yeah.
They still love each other. He's still going to have this kid. There's still going to be leverage. Mm-hmm. And I got to think that Winona gets involved in a negative way at some point in the season. But we get none of the, I guess, good stuff. I don't know what the good of Rayland being in a relationship is, but we get none of the good stuff of Rayland doing that.
I don't know. I'm almost wondering if they're not shelving that plot on purpose until after the end of the season. Because from what we've heard, there's going to be a lot of shit going down in the next X episodes, you know?
Well, I guess it's... Do you think that affecting Arlo is going to be enough pressure to apply on Rayland? Or do you think that Winona's going to have to be involved? Because, again,
still in Kentucky, too.
We also know from the preseason previews that at some point, unless this is a bullshit thing, that Raylan and Boyd more or less joined forces.
Yeah, yeah.
So I guess that could be to avenge Arlo. But it seems I always thought it was more likely for them to join forces over one of the women. Either Ava or Winona get kidnapped or put in danger. That's one thing that would unite them. And they're like, okay, let's do this.
Mm-hmm.
It's the one thing united them in season one.
Yeah, that's true. I could see Ava maybe filling that role more so than Winona, because Boyd doesn't really care about Winona, does she? Or does he?
I think Boyd cares about Raylan.
Yeah, certainly.
And that, I don't think, you know, his personal honor code would be you don't mess with someone's woman like that, especially a civilian.
Mm. Yeah.
So.
Maybe. I don't know. I could also see them, like I said, shelving it and just going all out with Quarles and Boyd and Limehouse.
Mm-hmm.
That wouldn't be bad either. All right. Well, do we have any listener feedback this week?
We do have a bit of listener feedback. First, from Doug, said, wanted to say thanks for your podcast. I found you looking for some talk on Breaking Bad and just started listening to your conversation about Walking Dead and Justified. He also said, you're evidently looking for suggestions when you started Justified. It's an awesome pick. He wants to throw Sons of Anarchy hat into the ring.
A lot of people threw that in.
I'm trying to get Mad Brew, the guy, my castmate for Game of Thrones, to cover that show for us. Just because I don't know that we'll have time when it's airing, and also I haven't seen any of those. Have you?
No, I saw a couple, but I'd have to go back.
Mad Brew's
a
huge fan of Sons of Anarchy, okay. So he's seen them all. He would be a great pick if we could get him with another co-host to cover that for us. But I've heard nothing but good things about it.
Yeah, me too.
Steppenwall likes it.
Mm-hmm. And they say it just gets better and better.
Right.
They haven't hit a slow season
kind yet. Kind of Shield-esque that way. Yeah, yeah. Kevin B. says, hey, guys, want to let you know that I think you're at the top of the game. Your game with the Justified podcast.
Oh, thank you.
Just started listening to your Breaking Good cast and followed you over to Walking Dead more recently.
Sucked.
You both put a lot of work in what you do, and it shows. Jim, you had mentioned a few casts ago that lack of feedback made this cast not as much fun, but I hope you guys stick with it, as what you do is appreciated.
We will. Definitely.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's like we're definitely committed to getting through the season of Justified. And you know, more feedback helps us make it more fun, but we're definitely committed to trying to build the show and this audience.
So. Yeah, I'm going
to
call up AMC and see what they can do about spacing out their shows a little more. Yeah.
He did say, it's like, I don't envy your lack of upcoming free time with Mad Men's and Game of Thrones. So mm-hmm. The only thing that saved me is I thought there was going to be 8 episodes of Walking Dead.
After the break?
Yeah. And there's not. That's like... I think that means there's going to be no weeks I'm going to do. I thought there was going to be one I was doing four. Two that I was doing four.
Yeah, that's not
I think the most good. I'm doing now is two and maybe 1 week three. So that's doable. I mean, hell, I've done 5 podcasts this week.
Yeah, between interviews and...
And the Game of Thrones catch up and all that other stuff. Because we're going to have all season one Game of Thrones covered by the time...
you're going to start releasing those very soon, aren't
we? We are. Starting in March 1st, we're going to have the countdown towards May 1st, April 1st. So we're going to be releasing 2 podcasts a week.
Oh.
And every other week, I think another one, like a weekend bonus cast, and that'll catch us up. So
maybe
we'll
you
be
just
ready
start a week earlier.
I'd have to edit all that shit, Jim. That's the problem.
Boo. So, 4 podcasts and editing, not a problem.
No. No. Maybe right. I can lose my job, and then it'll be no problem.
There you go.
D says, hey, guys, love the podcast. Thicker than a mud, and heard you having a problem pronouncing actor Michael T. Williams' name.
Yeah.
Per IMDb, he was born Michael T. Period Williamson, so his stage name is just a different phonetic interpretation.
Which I had no
idea.
Is
that it makes perfect sense. Michael T. Michael,
sure.
But
sure.
Is it? I still don't know. Is it really Michael T. or is it Michael T.?
No, it's Michael T., but it's just phonetically spelled as a first name.
Interesting.
Yeah.
She says, love him as Limehouse. Also, if anyone leaned into MySpace like he did with Trixie, I would interpret it as seriously scary and menacing and terrifying. So I asked for a woman, a female's viewpoint. She delivered, side with you.
I was right.
I tip my cap at you, sir.
Apparently, I'm more connected with the feminine side of myself than you are.
Ted C., who is our embedded reporter in Kentucky, said, hey, fellas. Hey, boys. Ted here. As I watched this episode, I began to take notice of how confusing the multiple settings of Harlan County and Lexington must be for people who aren't familiar with central and southeastern regions of Kentucky. And the show never does anything to help the viewer out in getting orientating yourself. My speculation was all but affirmed when I heard Aaron comment on Dewey tearing a swath through Harlan County in his quest for kidney cash.
Yeah.
Nearly every scene in this episode, aside from those featuring Boyd, Dickie, or Limehouse, took place in Lexington, which I didn't know. I said, there are no big hospitals in Harlan, aside from the Appalachian Regional Medical Center, which is a small outfit. Therefore, the nurse and criminals are most likely Lexington residents. There are no strip clubs in Harlan either. Another surefire sign that the entire storyline featuring Dewey took place in Lexington. It's important to remember that the marshal's office is also located in Lexington, which takes up about all of Fayette County's smack dab in the heart of the rolling hills, the bluegrass region of the state, which is what the carpetbagger was referring to in the first episode. It's about a 2.5 to 3 hour drive from Lexington to get to Harlan County. Really?
Wow. Raylan's got a commute.
He's burning up the mile. It does save on gas having the law do that work.
Yeah.
To get to Harlan County, I moved to Lexington after finishing college in Eastern Kentucky University in Richmond, and I've made the trip from Lexington to Harlan countless times the past decade or so. Some quick hints and tips to keep things straight would include, if the scene takes place in a tall building, you might be a redneck. I mean, we are in Lexington. Yeah, in a case,
but there's also Louisville in the mix, so you gotta wonder.
Yeah, he said there's a case or two from prior season. It could be Louisville.
Okay, good.
If there are rolling meadows and fences, we are in Lexington. If horses are featured or someone is working a racing field, we're also in Lexington. If there are mountains and trees, we're in Harlan. If coal is mentioned, we are in Harlan. If the state police are featured, we're usually in Harlan, whereas the Lexington City Police vehicles are featured in Lexington, and there are no major hospitals or prisons in Harlan. He also mentioned many of the villains of the week, like the ice pick from The Gunfighter, never go anywhere near Harlan at all. Any metropolitan scene featured could not take place in Harlan, even the county seat. The city of Harlan is a small downtown area encompassing the amount of space seen in the opening credit sequence title shot. It's hard to keep track, but I hope some of these hints can help. Thank you. Yeah, it actually does.
That helps a lot.
And I'm, again, mind blown at the geography on that.
2.5 to 3 hours between the two, yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot of time in the car for Rachel and, you know, Rayland and who's the other?
Tim.
Tim, yeah. I get confused because that's actually Timothy Oliphant.
Yeah. They do a pretty good job, I think, visually distinguishing these places. I mean, like you said, when you see mountains, when you see
now
that
I know what I'm
stuff,
looking for, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it just feels a little grimier in Harlan.
Yeah,
everything feels a little more run down, a little older. Whereas in Lexington and Kentucky, or Lexington and Louisville, you get a lot more pristine landscapes.
Plus, not a lot
more concrete.
Yeah. And the dress and garb is different too. Like if it's all Daisy Dukes and flannel and trucker caps, you're probably in Harlan.
Yeah, I mean we saw that. We see Wynn, Duffy, and Quarles walking around in suits all the time.
Right.
They're not out of place in Lexington, whereas Boyd in a suit in Harlan was way out of place,
yes.
And Raylan even commented on it.
Yes.
So that's cool.
So good points. That's all the feedback we got tonight.
All right. Then let's go ahead and do the outro. And then spoilers? Do we have any spoilers for the after the music?
We're going to review the...
Talk
about
clip
next
week.
And speculate wildly about it.
Okay, then take us out.
If you have some spoilers, you can email them to us at justified@baldmove.com. If you want to keep up with everything that Jim and I are doing, all of our various shows, you can do so. If you want to check out the interview with Taylor Elmore at baldmove.com, get at us at Facebook on facebook.com/baldmove and tweet at us, Twitter @baldmove. If you'd like to support us, the two best ways to do that, three best ways. Number one, tell a friend. Mm-hmm. Number two, get on iTunes and give us a positive review. That helps us float to the top of the rankings and gets more people listening to our show. It's easier to find us on the web, easier to find us on iTunes. And third, if you'd like to help us pay for the bandwidth and also get some great stuff at Amazon that you're going to buy anyway, use our Amazon affiliate link, amazon.baldmove.com. There's no additional charge to you. Amazon just gives us a little tiny percentage to as a thank you for referring the traffic to them.
Definitely, and we appreciate all of those.
Yeah. Yep.
All right, that's it for this week. Next week, we're going to be covering The Man Behind the Curtain. Until then, I'm Jim.
And I'm Aaron. See ya.
And we're back with the spoiler section. Go ahead and play the clip for next week.
You ain't got the means to beat Quarles' newfound alliance.
Tuesday.
A couple thousand addicts paying a few hundred a visit. Conservative estimate, $1 million a month.
Hell is empty and all the devils are here.
Your point being,
this is our home, Raylan.
24 hours from now, anything left in that building belongs to the Marshal Service.
You're going to pop a U.S. Marshal? You're crazier than I thought you were.
There are other ways to handle him.
Justified, all new Tuesday at 10, only on FX.
Did we see Arlo get shot there?
No,
look at that.
Yeah, we do.
Holy
we see Arlo get shot.
Is that for real?
And that's Limehouse.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Do you think he really shot Raylan?
Okay, so now we know a lot more. Do know that Arlo was in on the thing because Limehouse is closing off the loose ends.
Oh, and also by doing this, they're going to suspect Quarles did it.
Yeah.
And this is going to, it looks like that this is going to be the thing that unites Boyd. Because here's Boyd explaining, this is our home.
Mm-hmm.
The pail's empty and the white devil has come to our county. We got to protect it.
Who do you think the Limehouse is talking to when he says you don't have the means to be Quarles' partner? You think it's Errol? You think he's having another stern talk with Errol?
I think he might be having a stern talk with Boyd because Boyd's his customer now, remember?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man, that Limehouse is
tricky. But Boyd doesn't want to be Quarles' partner. He's not going to suggest to Limehouse that I want to be this guy's partner.
You think it's Johnny?
Oh, I hope not. For Boyd's sake.
No, I hope not either, but it would be an interesting...
I wonder if it's Arlo.
I'm telling you, these guys are building to something with all these significant looks with Johnny and, you know, they wouldn't be panning the camera to him making the bitch face and grimacing every time Boyd flexes if it wasn't pissing him off and if it wasn't significant to the plot.
Well, apparently somebody's unhappy with Quarles and what he's doing
as well. I am shocked that they're showing... this has got to be a preview trick. Why would they show Arlo getting shot?
We see it happen.
No, we don't. We see the dude's shoulder.
No. You see the guy get shot. There, that's Arlo. No question.
I know it's Arlo, but did he get shot with a rubber? I don't know. I just don't want to believe it because that's showing... That's giving up the goods in the preview, and I'm not used to...
Yeah.
Network's doing that.
Yeah. Well, we'll see next week.
And who's this dude?
It looks like a lawyer to me.
Monopoly man.
Or a lawyer or a made man. One of the two.
Do you think he's because later you see him in like an official government building. Do you think he's the guy on the inside?
Maybe.
That's like keeping him all.
Yeah, because he questions you want to go after a marshal.
Mm-hmm.
That you're crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he might be the guy on the inside.
Man, and he also looks like Quarles got some new muscle. Unless that's the guy that works for, because he's standing on
Quarles' side,
which cinematically that usually implies they're together.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that's his? You know, if what's his face is incapacitated,
I'm not digging his attire. I can tell you that much.
Yeah,
his black skin tight shirt with a black coat.
he's pulling a Archer.
That's
a tactical mock turtleneck.
Anyway, serious shit going down next week, apparently.
Yeah, it looks pretty badass. Anything else to speculate on?
No, I don't have any other spoilers.
Man, I cannot believe... I don't want that to be true.
He's dead.
He was like my favorite character in season one outside of Raylan.
Yeah, he kind of hasn't done a whole lot since then. You know?
And this Dementia thing... With him living by himself, trying to take this, it doesn't leave him very interesting places to go. So maybe it is, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe it is
the
right
end.
For him to
maybe
go.
Maybe it's the time.
Yeah. Plus, again, how this is no muscle for Boyd. I mean.
Yeah.
He's kind of a liability at this point.
And I mean, if they kill Arlo and then Limehouse says to Boyd, you don't have the means to be his partner.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he's talking about the guns, the muscle.
Maybe this is him closing the door on Arlo, you're thinking.
Maybe. I'm not sure, but we'll see next week.
All right, that's all I got.
Yep. See you guys next week.
Yep, bye.